Welcome to Alter Echo Families, the newest podcast of St. John's Lutheran Church in Lakeville, Minnesota. I'm Pastor Kim Kylo.
And I'm Amanda Bull, our Children, Youth, and Family Director.
And we are so privileged to get to spend time with a lot of children, youth, and families, from littles to big kids, from preschoolers to high school students, and everyone in between, and their parents. We get to hear a lot of big feelings and experiences and struggles from these kiddos and families, and we are here to offer you, hopefully, a couple bits of encouragement and some of our reflections from getting to hear your kiddos talk. So may this be a gift to you as you think about parenting and faith and all things with a fun dose of hilarity.
Absolutely.
Welcome back, everyone, to episode two.
Two.
Yay. Alter Echo Families.
Yay.
Because families come in all shapes and sizes, and God calls us all to be families together. And boy, we experienced a whole bunch of that last week for Thanksgiving, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
The joys. And the challenges.
Yes.
And the stressors.
Yes.
And the beauty.
Yes.
And all of it.
Absolute joy. And all the things that come with being with family for Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Yes, so exciting.
So exciting. And we survived.
Yes, we did.
We survived Thanksgiving.
We did.
Yes.
Exhausted, like all mothers.
That's right.
And really all humans after that experience.
For sure.
Absolutely. Exhausted and worn out, but grateful.
That's right.
To have had it.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know about at your house, but at our house, it's like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday when we realize how tired we are and how worn out we are from Thanksgiving, because we're like, oh, I gotta go to bed early, or like, we all just sleep really hard. It's our body's way of taking care of us, right?
Right. Yep, and I think there is definitely a time you need to recognize when your body needs rest after that, and
That's right.
Yeah, because as you know, I did not take those good days of rest. We had a very busy couple days after Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes. And so we had just epic event after epic event. And so I crashed about Sunday, 2 o'clock.
That's right.
Till the following Monday at 8 p.m., I was no good.
No.
No good, because my body said, since my brain didn't know, couldn't tell me to rest, my body said rest.
So invitation number one from Alter Echo Families today, parents, you're doing great. Mm-hmm. You are worthy of rest. Whether or not you are exhausted, rest. It's important and you need it. It's not a luxury. Do the rest.
Yes, we can't tell each other that and support each other enough on that wonderful good words of advice. Yes, rest, drink fluids, hydrate, eat well. Don't just eat pumpkin pie. I think I ate it for like breakfast and lunch.
Oh, good. I mean, you can.
Yes, but should you?
No. Maybe have like some nice vegetables the next time that you're going to eat.
I know.
Just and to balance really, out the gut health.
Pumpkin is a vegetable, I would say.
Sure.
But sure.
Maybe some
sugar.
Maybe some green ones. San sugar, right? Yep. No sugar on the next vegetables after the pumpkin pie.
Absolutely. I'm sure our wonderful listening audience loves this conversation.
It's important.
All right.
So speaking of Thanksgiving. Yeah,
the hard-hitting
topics.
Questions.
Yes.
Yes.
Of our family, parenting, faith, all the things. So you were just sharing with me a good question that came up about Thanksgiving and thus after Thanksgiving that brings us to our conversation today. So what can you share with our families, our listeners, what that question is?
Yes. Question is, on Thursday, we spend the day in this beautiful kind of area of peace and thanksgiving and gratitude and tranquility, and we are all trying to be thankful, which is wonderful. And then we turn around on Friday, and to some, feels like a festival of greed as Black Friday sets in and everyone is... grandparents and children turning on each other. What do you want? Why, you know, I'm not giving you these Uggs that are $130 and you greedy child. But then on Thursday, that grandparent was like, oh, look look at my wonderful grandchild who just was helping decorate and clean up dishes. And then Friday, that same grandparent says, they're greedy, terrible children. They want such expensive gifts.
How dare they?
How dare they? How dare they? And, but yes.
As though certainly, especially our littlest ones among us, really understand monetary values and they realize what they're asking for is expensive. No, they do not. Point. No
However,
way.
Uggs, though, does come from maybe a middle school student.
Sure.
Who?
Who might have a better grasp on monetary value. Perhaps a little bit more.
Possibly. Maybe,
not a full sense, but
not a full sense. No. But also thinking that the grandparent can give them the world.
Well, don't they? Grandparents do give us the world.
Absolutely.
We love us a good grandparent, that's for sure.
But it is a great point to, I think this, this was from, I've heard two comments about the greed versus, I think there must have been some kind of a social media post about the Thanksgiving versus the greed. On Friday, because it got people talking. Okay. So I thought, well, good. So I heard kind of from a grandparent. I heard from a parent.
Sure.
Who also said, no, I'm not going to participate in this just to be stubborn.
Okay.
So very good.
Okay.
But, what do you think Jesus would feel about?
Well, in one of my most favorite sassy Jesus stories about Jesus and greed, this is also a social media post. When you think to yourself, what would Jesus do? Remember that flipping tables in the temple is not out of the question when it comes to Jesus.
Yes.
If Jesus was confronted with greed, especially greed that was oddly adjacent to something that was supposed to be sacred, hint, hint, Christmas is coming, right? Jesus was not pleased, right, about the presence of greed and the motivation of greed. So as a faith concept, right, we have to think about how we experience greed, how we maybe try to have practices that run counter to greed.
Counter to greed.
Maybe not that we completely have to abandon all things monetary, of course, because we still have to live in the world. But how do we treat this as a not only a faith practice for ourselves, but also as a faith thing that we can model for our kiddos and start teaching them the building blocks of?
Yes.
I don't want to say anti-greed. But maybe it is anti-greed, right? Anti-greed and responsible consumption, healthy consumerism.
Yes.
As kind of a balanced way of life that brings faith into the conversation. How's that?
Love it. Love it. Okay. I love that. Yep. I love that you mentioned what would Jesus do and saying, and then I always counter that with what did Jesus actually do?
Let's not
suppose him. What do you suppose he would do? Let's talk about what he did actually do. And he did actually flip the tables and he was not a fan.
No.
And so I think coming, like structuring this in a way of what we can give our families some real good ideas of what can counter greed and the I want. Versus the I need and what we can do for others during this time of Advent.
That's right.
That we are just ready to dive into.
That's right.
And how we can every day think through, very thoughtfully how we talk about this, because the presents are going to be coming under the tree. Everyone's asking them what they want.
That's right.
And giving them their lists for Christmas, but then we're like, but yet we don't really want you to want it that much.
That's
right. We don't want you to be greedy.
That's right.
We don't want to really ask. We don't want you to really ask for what you want. That's just too much.
Too much.
Don't ask for it. The toddler that asks for the horse or the, who knows.
We were just these days. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
We were just having an interesting conversation, my husband and I, about this the other day, because one of the grandparents texted me and asked about, we have this one item for Owen for Christmas. What else would he like? And she wanted more specific things. And we kind of both lamented the fact that we are privileged to be a family where our kids are not in need, right? They do not have a scarcity of toys, activities, whatever. And so naming more things that our kids want feels like the wrong thing to us, but also leaving it up to chance and then getting something that's completely impractical and will just collect dust and really contribute to that also doesn't feel like the right thing, right?
Absolutely.
So, like, this is the thing that we're faced with in this season.
Yeah.
Right? We're
putting our children in a difficult situation and families and parents and grandparents and the whole structure. And I think maybe we need to rethink it thoughtfully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how we can, just maybe create a better way.
Create a better way. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I guess I have a few thoughts about that.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Where should we start with those thoughts? Should we start with the littles or should we start, how do we want to do this? Because there's so many ways we can come at this.
They are. But I don't think we're going to be able to touch on all of them. But let's start with the littles.
Good. Okay.
Let's start with the littles. And I think that's where you could set some really good traditions in place.
For sure.
And I think this is where I don't get too excited about traditions, but I think this is could be a safe outline for mm-hmm. grandparents. Like what we were talking about at lunch today with Candy about having mm-hmm. every age of every grandkid getting kind of a similar thing.
Sure.
And this being kind of a milestone in their family.
Yeah.
So like when you're five, you get this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a Bible. Oh, wouldn't that be cute?
Maybe.
And then maybe at six, you get, you know, maybe it's a Christmas, you know, type of decoration or ornament or an advent calendar. Or at seven, you get pajamas, or at eight, you get this. Or I like setting up structure, and you can do that when the kids are little.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of our parents contribute to advent calendars, or
they do,
or the and also we've got a couple of families, you know, so contributing to causes or events. So maybe, okay, part of your Christmas gift will be a donation of, you know, so setting, it's exciting when the babies are little and just to give them all the stuffed animals and stuff. But I think setting up some things at that age so that you have kind of a tradition of what you're going to do.
That's right.
And I think maybe rethinking that. And I don't think it's ever too old to start that, because families just keep getting bigger and grandparents get overwhelmed, but all of a sudden now they have 13 grandkids to buy for and they're stressed out.
That's right.
And the parents are stressed out. And
So two other strategies that I think have been good that have worked, neither of which I can take credit for, so I'm not breaking here. Number one, one set of grandparents in our family decided on a dollar amount that they wanted to spend on each grandchild, and they put like 2/3 of it into a fund for each child. And so the parents know that that money is in there, but the kids really don't know. And when they turn 18, then they are given this fund that instead of just buying stuff, now it's given to them as kind of an ongoing growth potential asset that can really help them in a launching time of their life. So that was a good one. I really appreciate from the grandparents that like it still honors that they want to be giving, but it's not just giving them more stuff, right?
Yes.
I like that one. And another one that actually Owen accidentally came up with, I think, when he was maybe 2 or 3, he wanted to give a gift to Santa.
Oh.
And so I came up with the spin on this, that we could take some of his outgrown toys that he's not playing with anymore to give to Santa so Santa can give them to other kids, right?
Oh,
and so,
gosh.
Like, yes, brilliant. It's getting stuff out of the house when more stuff is coming in, but it also teaches them that they're giving to some other child, right?
Yes.
At the same time. And you can involve the children in wrapping the gifts, putting them under the tree, and then, you know, on Christmas Eve, they magically disappear. And of course, you know, you'll have to get them to wherever you're donating them. But this seems like a good thing every year to say, okay, what are some ways that you can be generous with what you have to others? And even if it's not financial for them, they can still participate in a giving away in that way.
I love that.
Isn't that fun?
Isn't that great?
Sweet little Owen came up with that on accident.
That's good. I think being creative and also very communicative with those, having those hard conversations with the in-laws who just want to, you know, to indulge and give them all the things. But I think, you know, creating some traditions and things that are not centered around gifts. Don't make the gift opening the main event.
Right.
Make something else. Like, you know, we're not a big board game family. I know you, because we're highly competitive at the Bow House, if you can't believe
it. This is shocking
information. Surprising. I know. But we have been able to come up with some other things at Christmas that are not competitive in nature that still make Christmas very meaningful.
Good.
Mostly it's about the food.
Sure.
We like to consume it.
Great.
And make it and do all the fun things. So, but much I think food. That, you know, making the Christmas holiday less about the gifts entirely.
Yeah.
And just less pressure. And then I think contributing to them long term is amazing. But having those conversations with the kids and then also knowing that everyone's Christmas is going to look different.
Yeah.
And don't assume that what happens at your house is going to happen at the same. And maybe when That's they right. come back to school, not share with all their friends all the loot that they got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
So there you go. I think, you know, that a continued conversation, but communication with the in-laws and the families and so that you're not just overwhelmed with everyone, your kid getting 35 gifts.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All the things. Mm-hmm. It's so much.
It is too much. That's and right. I think, yeah. And being very grounded and in the idea that Jesus didn't like greed.
That's right.
Yeah. No. And we should, you know, remind ourselves that that looks like being very generous and kind towards others. And, you know, gifts are fine, but just don't get caught up in it.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
Remind ourselves that joy is not coming from the things, but it's coming from the people and the experiences together.
That's right.
Yeah. That's remind yourselves that and get rest.
Mm-hmm. And get some rest.
Get some rest.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Good. Yeah,
good.
Good. Well, I think we solved that one. Good.
I hope so.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
So not to add one more thing into the to-do list for our busy people for the season, but to try to be intentional about these practices and know that the way that you shape this is a great gift to your children, that you're teaching them an important value around, you know, giving and not just receiving and participating in the event that way.
And it's never too late to if you think you've got middle school students now or high school students, and it's too late to change some of these things. It is not. I would maybe this try something new this year with the way you do gifts.
For sure.
And get the kids involved. And I think you may be surprised at some of the ideas they might may come up with, like giving, like wrapping them up and giving some things that they have away, or being more generous towards others. And
that's right.
And I think that, you know, it would be a great time to great year to start something new.
That's
I encourage
right.
you to do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
start something new. It's never too late.
No, no matter how old your kids are. That's I think right. you can, I think traditions are wonderful, but I think that they, you have to insert the idea that we love doing this, but it could change.
It can always change.
Can always change.
And we're still going to have a wonderful holiday, even if it changes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Good.
Well, I can't wait. We'll visit again next week.
We sure will. We're going to continue to take your questions.
Advent. Yep. I'm going to be asking tonight. We have.
That's right.
Yes, tonight we're going to be asking the kids questions about discipleship.
Ooh.
I was just thinking about this. And so we'll be interested in what that means to be a disciple.
We sure will. We sure will. Good.
So we'll be looking for those questions next week.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing that occurs to me that might be worthwhile mentioning in this message today.
Yes.
I see in front of Amanda here, you can't see it because you only have audio listeners, but Amanda has an Advent devotion in front of her. If you are either new to St. John's or new to being a Lutheran or new to the church or new to whatever, or you're not new and you're like, I really never understood what Advent is and please help me. We have a couple, we have two, I think, really good
we do
different orientation Advent devotionals. One is for adults. So if parents, you are looking for something that's just for you, because we know that one of the pitfalls of being a parent is usually that you're so focused on things for your kids that you maybe neglect your own personhood and spiritual care. So we have an Advent devotional written by one of our favorites, Kate Bowler, who is fantastic in all the ways and really, really good. And we trust her. That one is Bless the Advent We Actually Have. It has kind of a bright blue cover. It's free for you at church. And the other one is an Advent devotional written by parents for teaching their kids about Advent as well. That one's by The Little Way Chapel. And they are just so good at writing things in an accessible way for kids of a number of ages, right?
Lots of hands-on activities in there that will keep you, I think, busy through the season in a not stressful way.
That's right.
But kind of working yourself through Advent with keeping a very strong center in, you know, just the purpose and the hope and the love and the joy and the peace.
And these, these two are not greed-based activities. So if, just having an activity available to you that is not about the glitz and the glitter and the noise of of the Christmas festivities is a helpful counter to greed as well.
Yes.
Some of these Advent activities can just give you something different to focus on with your kids.
Yeah.
Things like hope and peace and joy and all those other good things that I've just listed for us.
Yep. And I was just, so next week I think we might have to highlight a little bit of this because I'm looking at the first day starts as hope as protest. So, and it is just really good. I've read through this at least twice and I think it is just so good. So, so many good things to, you know, to spend time on. And we talked about rest. Well, give yourself a moment. Someone just quoted me on this yesterday that I always try to begin and end my day in some form of devotion or reading or something.
Nice.
And, you know, when you get busy, kind of fall away from that, but these resources would be really great even if you just take half of it in the morning and half of it at night.
Sure
And I do really encourage you. It really does fill your cup up for the rest of the day.
That's right.
And it is just a wonderful way to start this day to make sure that you don't get feeling like you're depleted during this season.
That's right. Good. So both of these resources are free and available to you at church. Swing by anytime that we're open and grab a Advent devotion or two. And if you want to take one to share with a friend or a somebody who, you know, maybe you like to support or is having a little bit of a hard time in the season of Advent.
Yeah, that just is a also subtle, great. Like, here you go, take this and maybe that will, subtle.
Just
like,
a little gift.
Yep. That's right. And these will be personalized. Everyone gets a little personalized bag for the Advent Festival with these resources in them. With their little name on it.
And then we're
making sure they all get in the right hands.
That's right. And when's the Advent Festival, just in case we all forgot?
This Sunday. Good. During Sunday's Bar from 9:00 to 10:15.
All right.
We have Krumkaka, Lefsa, and Spritz. Made by Pastor Chris by
Kathy.
And she's so very excited. And you're going to learn all of the history of all of these special treats and traditions. And it's just a very special day.
Sure will. Okay, wow.
Very good.
Thank you for joining us for episode 2.
Great.
Have a great day, everybody.